right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We'll read some of your texts. People like talking about other people's money. We did the bag getter Mount Rushmore in the NFL in the previous segment. If you missed it, you can get it on the Odyssey Rewind feature or on the Payne and Pendergast podcast. We also had an interview with Nick Caserio last week, Texans GM. You can get that interview on our podcast on the Odyssey app.
Yeah. That seems like forever ago.
I know. It was less than a week ago. And one of the questions we asked him was about, hey, who are the guys that you see a major difference in this year transforming their bodies? We asked about Blake Fisher specifically, but he offered up a couple other names. And one of the names has turned into a pretty fun story heading into this part of the calendar for the Texans. Take a listen.
Can we give it to D'Amico?
D'Amico.
I said this the other day. He would definitely beat my ass, so I'll try to avoid. But no, he looks good. Blake looks good. He's been here. I'll give you two other players, actually. So Ladarius Henderson has actually sort of reshaped his body. I think nobody's worked harder than LD. I know he lost his whole year last year because he was dealing with foot injuries, but I think he's lost, 15 to 20 pounds of like body fat. He wasn't able to do a lot, but I would say like the level of commitment and focus that he's shown, I mean, honest to God, like it's a tremendous accomplishment. And I would say just right, looking.
And then he went on to talk about Kamari Lassiter, but Ladarius Henderson, Seth, Caserio over the moon with his praise for the offseason that the former seventh-round pick from last year's draft class out of Michigan had. Here was D'Amico Ryans on Saturday, asked about Ladarius Henderson, and echoes a lot of what Nick Caserio said to Seth and myself.
Very encouraged with Ladarius and just how he's went about the process just throughout the offseason, throughout the entire season, just seeing Ladarius show up every day, smile on his face, having that joy. Like he gives me energy, right? Just seeing him in the building, how excited he is to just work, get better weight room on the field. Just we wanted to get him out here in the rookie minicamp because he didn't have this time last year. I just get on the field. So trying to get him just the extra time to get out, get some coaching sessions with Coach Popovich. And he's doing a great job so far. And I'm just excited to see, you know, how this journey continues to go for him because it's definitely headed in the right direction. And he's done everything the right way, everything you could possibly do to put yourself in position to have a successful year. He's done that.
There are no sacred cows on the interior of that offensive line. Like I know right. He was drafted as a tackle, but he's got a shot here, I think.
Yeah, and he played both guard and tackle in college, and they look at him as a guard. He's the thing about Ladarius Henderson that intrigues people so much is that he's got freakishly long arms and wingspan and hand size, all of that stuff. He just wasn't as consistent in college as a guy that's going to get drafted higher. But I think that he's still got upside. If you look at some of his measurables, that if you can do something with those long arms and just kind of have something click, there's definitely intrigue there. So the two guys I think have been left out of conversations in the offseason maybe too much are, I guess, Ladarius Henderson, just because there's a groundswell of him being a cult favorite amongst a lot of people.
Yeah.
So it's hard to ignore that. People are very intrigued by Ladarius Henderson. But as somebody on one of my live streams this weekend brought up Braxton Berrios, and I realized, yeah, you know what? Braxton Berrios as a returner could be really, really big for the Texans. And also as a guy that might get time as a receiver too, just because he's going to be on the squad. He's never had more than 20 or so receptions in a season. He's very, very small, but he is very, very fast and has had some huge plays as a returner in his time.
Oh, yeah. No, he was an all-pro returner at one point. I forget if it was for the Dolphins or the Jets, but he has been an all-pro returner at one point. He might be, for this roster, what Steven Sims was for last year's roster. Heading into the season, they carried seven receivers, and one of them was Steven Sims, whose sole role on the team was to return kicks. Now, he didn't finish the year on the Texans. He finished the year on the Ravens, but it could be a similar type of thing.
I think Braxton Berrios is being ignored, perhaps inordinately so, because people don't want to get they don't want to tweet about Braxton Berrios because then they're going to get thrown into the world of his girlfriend's social media.
Alex Earle.
Yeah. Alex Earle, who is just wildly famous on social media. But that means for you and I and probably 90% of our listeners, we don't know what the hell people are talking about.
Yeah.
But you get into that realm where, like, all right, I'm going to say something nice about Braxton Berrios, and all of a sudden I'm going to have 5,000 Twitter followers who just are Alex Earle fans.
Right.
And as soon as I criticize Braxton Berrios for something, oh, the hell that your life will become.
Yeah, yes. the day they – I knew something was up the day they signed Braxton Berrios, and Jesse Watt, one of the – one of the members of the morning team over on Mix 96.5 was super excited about it. She's like, oh my God, the Texans signed Braxton Berrios. I'm like, I look at him. He's handsome. I know that. And then she's like, Alex Earl. So excited. So excited.
That is, he is an X factor, though. I think that, you know, Jalen Knoll's probably, you know, obviously Jalen Knoll can be a returner as well. So some definite competition for the return position this year.
Mm-hmm. Bag getters. We talked about this in the previous segment. Kevin Cobb, former U of H Coug, who was a starting quarterback for the Eagles for a bit. Post Donovan McNabb.
You know what? This is what's happening. I feel like people keep sending these suggestions in.
Yeah.
And what they're getting is not necessarily, these are not bag getters. They're just evidence of how much quarterbacks get paid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's if you stick around long enough as a backup quarterback or as a fringe starter, then you're gonna end up making a good amount of money over the years.
Does Brock Osweiler qualify in any way for this convention that we're putting together?
Because it's also got to be, you've got to do it twice, I think. Yep. You've got to get two contracts at least, and then without the career production that really goes behind it. So Kevin Cobb played as a backup for 7 years, got $29 million. That's... Backup quarterbacks make a boatload of money these days.
Yeah, the Eagles made him their starter at one point, but it didn't last very long. I know that. Yeah. People suggesting Matt Flynn. Okay, Ed Reed, Texans bag getter and highway robbery. And then someone got Ed Reed's bag because he left a bag of money on the front seat of his
car. That's right.
Remember that?
What was it? Was it $20,000 or something?
I think it was 50. I want to say it was 50. Who's rolling around with 50K? Well, I know who's rolling around with 50K.
That is old school right there.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
These kids these days are running around with 50K in crypto or something if they need non-taxable dollars for whatever reason.
February of 2014, former NFL player Ed Reed reported that $50,000 in cash was stolen from his car in Houston. I just remember at that stage, because that was February of 2014, so it was after the season in which Ed Reed bellyached his way out of town, and so he must have still had a place here in Houston, and I just remember not feeling all that sorry for him, and I don't think the listeners felt all that sorry for him as well. Hey, man, you stole $5 million from the Texans, the least that a Houstonian can do. I feel like that Houstonian, you know, kind of like Robin Hood, you know?
You know what I remember from that era was so many people trying to tell me I was naive to not know, like, whatever, you know, dastardly things Ed Reed was planning to do with $50,000 in cash. Look, there are plenty of, like, mildly illegal things you can do with $50,000 in cash that might involve trying to help a contractor, you know, not report all his income or something.
Yes.
But it doesn't have to involve drugs or getting somebody murdered.
No.
Okay?
No.
That was $50,000 doesn't all of a sudden mean that you're spending it for the worst possible thing. It's like, okay, might never, trying to, you know, go around to keep things off the books for whatever reason.
That's it. That's it.
I gave my parents a big wad of cash once, which was, you know, it was under the IRS limit or whatever. But I don't remember why I did it in cash. But my stepfather was very stressed about it. He did not like having all that cash laying around.
Oh, yeah. No, what's the most you can give somebody in cash without them having to declare it? Isn't it like 12? I remember at one time, the company I used to work for, I was one of the original employees. So when we got, the first time we got bought and everybody made a lot of money for that, The founder of the company, the CEO, gave all of the original employees, at that point there was like 9 of us still left with the company, a suitcase with the most cash that you could get without having to declare it to the IRS. So there's like 11 grand or something. It was a suitcase with 11 grand he gave each of us. It was
cool. That's tricky because that's above the limit that you can fly with without declaring it, I think. So.
Yeah. Well, I was lucky. I was living in Naperville at the time, so I just drove home with it. I was a little like Ed Reed.
You didn't need to fly down to deposit it into your overseas account. I probably went straight to
the casino, if I remember correctly.
Looks like the most you can gift a family member is $12,000?
That sounds about right. Because we got $11,000 when we did that little exercise, yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, $16,000.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. That's standard reason, I guess, you know, inflation.
Something around there. Don't take my advice, everybody, okay?
Yeah, if you were thinking of going to the bank today to give one of your relatives a five-figure box of cash, just Google it, okay? And don't take Seth's word for it.
Okay, and then but then there's some other, let's see. In the U.S., a person can give gifts up to $5,340,000 throughout their life without ever needing to pay gift tax.
Okay.
But I don't know if that's like individual, if that's how it's separated by up. It's important that our listeners
I feel like this.
Listen, everybody.
Yeah. Veering into dangerous territory here. All right, Payne and Pendergast heading into the 8 o'clock hour. There is a big date coming up, on one of the, like, date on the calendar for one of the most prominent relationships in sports. We will tell you what that is coming up next.